Say this about the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are gonna win the world championship. I really do. But they gotta be the dumbest team. They make between stupid fouls and bad shots, not taking advantage of mismatches.
Mike Budenholzer is a coach who knew coming into the season that he had to advance in these playoffs to be able to return as head coach. Milwaukee did not offer Budenholzer an extension.
Giannis blooping one to Lopez, and that'll do it. The Bucks beat the Nets in 7. They do it in overtime. They're headed to the Eastern Conference Final, where they'll take on the winner between the Sixers and the Hawks.
I'm still speechless. An hour later, I watched the Bucks for 30 years, and I don't know that I've ever seen us win this game. Can anyone recall? Maybe somebody can touch base on this. I think a lot of times we get in the weeds as far as one bad call or a couple bad calls, and Adam Silver's NBA is filled shock full of bad calls. The finger wasn't on the scale tonight. The elbow was on the scale. Like, not just the heart and stuff. There was just an incredible flurry of terrible calls. It was literally like, I mean, everybody makes the 8-on-5 joke, but, and so I can't sum this up. I wanted to do a quick 10 minutes. There's just too much to talk about. It's an amazing series. Like, I think we said somebody should make a 30 for 30 about this. Actually, I mean, it's the kind of thing I would actually like to try to make if somehow we had access. But there's just so many storylines here, and you know, I think the series started out. There's so much things that we believe about sports that are completely true, which is, so to sum up, the Bucks destroyed the Heat based on hot shooting from Bryn Forbes, which never came back, and Portis, who got to play, right? Games 1 and 2, and on the basis of that, a bunch of people picked the Bucks to beat the Nets, even though that made no sense. At all. It was made absolutely no sense. We were never going to beat the Nets with 3 of the top 15 players. And then there's this crazy thing happens where we totally miss our shot in game 1, which is always an indicator of you know, the game, if you miss your shot in a seven-game series against a better team, that's usually like curtains, and somehow it wasn't. And then we're embarrassed in game two. But then the Nets start dropping like flies. Oh, yeah, and of course Harden goes out in game one. And so there was just a roller coaster. I'm going to miss like eight things that happened. I mean, the security guard gate, Drew and Middleton only even playing passable at Fiserv, and Drew not even really that, which of course is an indicator of the kind of players that they are. Giannis, the Giannis free throw situation, Kevin Durant covering himself in all kinds of glory. And it was like, so it was the weirdest kind of thing. The game five collapse, what an incredible series. And I just can't believe we won it. And we won it. The Jeff Green game, Blake Griffin playing quite well, Kyrie playing well until he got hurt, Harden still being just a bum. But, I mean, I guess you give him some credit for gutting it out. Chris hitting a few shots, although being pretty garbage for the series. Drew being, like, Drew making Chris look good as bad as Drew played. Dog, what else? It's the craziest thing. And here's the thing, like, if people want to cover themselves in optimism after this game, I totally get it. I think I'm probably just going to be optimistic. And like I said, I want this to be like a five-minute podcast. I'll read the questions. I want this to be a five-minute podcast. It's crazy, man. We might go to the finals. We might go to the finals. And we're still not that... But let's all agree, right? We're still not that good. We still have a dumb coach. Our best players, at best, against real competition. And I'm talking Giannis, Chris, and Drew. But take Giannis. Let's put Giannis in the corner for a minute, and let's talk about Chris and Drew. They can maybe do it in Flurries. And I kept my powder dry on the Game 6 thing. The Game 6 thing is exactly the same thing. For Chris, is the exact same thing. If he can get the complete variable on all his games is if he can fall down on three-pointers. And they're going to give it that. And I think he must have got that three times in Game 6. And he went 5-for-8 from three, which is why he should be shooting 12 three-pointers a game. But big. Let's not bury it. Big shot by him with 40 seconds left. I certainly thought he was about to give away the overtime with the turnover. I think everyone thought with 3.5 minutes left when there was that long rebound and he turned it right back over again and then Durant dunked, that was going to be it. The team showed resilience. And now, we get the Sixers or the Hawks. And I would have to say we'd probably want the Hawks. The Hawks seem, because of home court and the Hawks are somewhat more explosive, and because we don't want any part of Ben Simmons on Chris, somehow we survived. And the calls were so bad. The phantom calls that they were getting deep into that game, and game 6 and 5 also with Harden. I feel like the first game, because the first game Harden was back, Harden was basically playing for the Bucks. Like, he was a negative in every possible way. And it just seemed like this series was going to go down, like all these series, as just a great big old missed opportunity. And we survived. It's the craziest thing in the world. We survived. I think at one point in the first half or the first quarter, it was like Chris had a technical and nobody else, be honest, had taken a free throw. I don't know how we won that game, man. And before we go to the questions, a word about Durant. You know, the player empowerment era has wrought, like, so many things, and we're just not going to know how to talk about Kevin Durant at all. We're just not. Because this series absolutely elevates him. It wouldn't – I mean, it's the same thing with the Warriors. Like, the guy, along with the injury, has thrown away 5 years of his awesome prime by playing on teams that were too good, like it was AAU. And I'm sad for him, but ultimately happy for him that he got to show out. Because the thing is, like, so let's say the Bucks lose in the finals. And I was saying this kind of for a long time, that I don't know why the Heat series, in the context of everything we've seen over the last 3 years, and certainly everything we saw in the playoffs, made us think that we'd get to the finals and beat whoever was coming out of the West. I don't think that's realistic at all. Like, we split with all the West teams, except for the ones like the Jazz and Suns who swept us. It wasn't like we rose to the level of competition, because again, we don't have that great of a supporting cast most of the time. But maybe this is our year. And that's crazy, because again, I just don't think this team is that good. But are we going to be favored next round? With Embiid, you know, not completely right, and Simmons basically being Ben Simmons, I think we might, like, I hate even saying this, and I don't believe in any sort of superstitious tricks and nonsense, but I feel funny even saying it out loud. The Bucks are going to the finals, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. So let's go to the questions. I'm going to go to bed. No, I lost my train of thought. What I was going to say about Durant is it's like no one gave him credit for making like those closeout shots against the Cavs, because it'd be like the Cavs play the Warriors. I think this happened 2 years back-to-back in pretty similar circumstances where everybody assumed the Warriors were going to win anyway, but like the Cavs would have like that first game three at home and have a good game, and Durant just 2 years in a row hit some money three, like LeBron passed to Korver 1 year, and then like Korver misses, LeBron comes down and hits a three, and it's over. Like, the whole series is over. And his career will be really interesting to talk about, because he's not going to have that. Maybe he will, but like, if you probably don't get a Nowitzki kind of run playing with two MVPs, like two MVPs teaming up, and plus Kyrie and Jeff Green and all these other guys. But I think at this point he's made so many money shots that's an enduring part of his legacy, and he's still a weirdo and everything else. But you just, you know, there's a lot of talk about greatness, and one kind of LeBron indicator that people don't, kind of the great LeBron infrastructure is always like of media analysts and Mark Jackson and kind of all these guys and Kendrick Perkins, and they're always like, you know, I hope you appreciate that, man. I just hope you appreciate when it's gone. And it's like, you don't actually say that about great players. And like, I don't think anybody's missing this with Durant. Like, it's plainly obvious what he's been doing, and it's incredible. And it's not just the kind of the baseline 12 footers that he's hitting, but like, it's weird because he's both in a way like Dirk, in a different way than Dirk, but he's not that coordinated. Like, but he had that play that he kind of late in the fourth, I think, or where they had to come back, or maybe they were tying it up, and he like bent into a pretzel and then came out and laid it in, and it was kind of ugly, but it was both an incredible example of body control and kind of a weird play by a stick man. And you know, he's not George Gervin as far as smoothness, but just legendary series. And this is kind of the thing about the playoffs, and the thing that's actually the best thing about sports is you hope that you win. And I'm assuming we're not going to win it all, but there's a real chance that we might. But either way, this is a glorious moment. You can't really control whether you win or lose. All you really hope for is that your team gives the best effort to win. And so Durant can sleep well tonight. And even if we win the finals, I got to be honest, Bucks fans, like, I don't know that it gets any better than this. Because whatever the number was, Drew and Middleton were 4-for-21 or something like that. And the whole season was going down the toilet. And it, just like a movie, everybody got a piece. PJ Tucker and Connaughton, everyone who played contributed to the win. And it's, I don't think, no matter what happens, I don't know that it'll actually be more special than this. So that's kind of why I'm so excited. Because if they lose, great. We've woven ourselves in. If they lose later, like, obviously we'll be disappointed, but we can talk about that later. This is really something. This is one of the five greatest games that the Bucks have had since I've been alive. And so anyway, let's now go to the questions. This game could be an NBA
classic. These two teams. The Andersons got tickets to the game? How'd they get tickets?
Did you try NBAtickets.com?
But the game is sold out.
The games are never sold out at NBAtickets.com.
Never?
Yep, and they're never fake.
Your dad's a genius. Grab the keys. We're going to the game.
Always available. Always 100% authentic.
Belligerent fan and deep fried badger. Why do we decide to force the ball through Middleton in the fourth OT when he couldn't hit anything all game and Giannis was dominant? Give him credit. He finally started hitting some shots. I don't think that we decided to force the ball through him. Forcing the ball through him is madness. Nothing really good comes of it. Obviously, I'm consistently and constantly and without fail frustrated by this guy because it takes him too long to do everything, because he doesn't shoot three-pointers, because he gets the ball with 6 seconds left on the shot clock and he still tries to pass. But he kept shooting. Jrue Holiday kept shooting. Like, that was kind of the thing, too, with Game 6. Was it 6 or 5? These all kind of running together. I think Jrue Holiday was especially awful in Game 6 and by the third quarter. But it was like the third quarter, it's like, well, you have to keep shooting. He has to keep shooting. And Jrue Holiday kept shooting. And between him and then Chris hit a couple of shots and Giannis. And all of a sudden it was like, yes, that's what you do. And let's be clear, because I'm sure none of the other podcasts will mention this. Not that I'm in competition with anybody, but I'm just being honest. Chris Middleton robbed us of the Toronto series by getting down on himself and then refusing to shoot in the fourth quarter. He took one shot in the fourth quarter. The Raptors went on a 26-3 run. Yes, everyone else played bad. Yes, free throws, everything else. The so-called technically great shooter on our team became a coward. This year, Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton kept shooting, so I'm not going to say anything bad about it. And frankly, look, I like the offense better. Like, here's the thing, too. The problem just continues to be that he catches the ball and he's not really ready to shoot, because Jrue ran the offense the majority of the last 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's better, because then Chris is off ball and that's great. I did feel like Chris, I know they kind of, and this might be a Budenholzer offense thing, that they just only are supposed to stand in certain spots. I did feel like Chris should have ran more from kind of the break, more to the break than where he was standing when Giannis had the ball in the post on his kind of triangle side. But guys are going to miss shots. Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday are not that good. They're the level below all-stars. And so what happens in the playoffs, and I'll just say this again really quickly, is what happens in the playoffs is everybody can go up a notch or down a notch. That's the way it goes. But you really can't typically jump two notches. So a player who's an MVP level caliber player like Durant or Giannis, when they're on, they can jump a notch to seeming like one of the best players of all time. Like one of the top five players of all time, which is what Durant looked like tonight. And that's how that works, right? Or they can fall down a level. Someone who's a stone cold all-star, a tier two player like Paul George or Kyrie. Kyrie against the Warriors, or Kyrie can occasionally look like an MVP caliber player, even though that you know that he's not, right? But that's the range. People who are borderline all-stars, like Chris or Jrue, when they have a good game, they seem like all-stars. And people who are not all-stars, like Jason Terry or any of the other players, or Jeff Green, all of a sudden seem like they're a smidge below all-stars, or Blake Griffin. That's how this goes, right? All that we ask about these guys is that they do their best and comport themselves in a way and try to win. So I have nothing bad to say about Chris Middleton tonight, even though what did he shoot for the series? 41%? Right? You got to keep firing. That's why he's on the team. Ben Miller, what is your ideal parade route? Too soon. I mean, what do you want me to say to that? Yeah, you probably start by Lincoln, go through North Lawn, make a turn at Silver Spring, go by Nicolet High School. We're not doing that yet. We're not doing parade routes yet, Ben Miller. Thank you very much for your question, though. Brian Harmon at B Harms. Did I really watch the team I blindly loved win on the road in a game 7? On the road. Said on the road twice, dude. But no worries, I get it, right? Against the title favorites with the greatest player on the planet. I'm asking if this was a dream. Maybe. But so far, I'm going to say that this actually happened. And here's the thing, too. And this, I don't know. Perhaps I'm just a little bit older because I only want satisfying wins. Like, to me, like, game six was a must win, and I'm sure if I was in the arena, I'd be excited by that. Like, I want players to win by making shots, not falling on the ground. I thought that, frankly, it was kind of weird about game six that people were, like, so excited about Harden, like, so outraged about Harden's nonsense. And it was like, yeah, that's exactly what Chris was doing, too. We'd just shoot a shot and falling down. Actually, I think it was – I feel like I'm talking about this again. That's not really the question, right? I'm sure this will come up in some other question. Dude, we won. We won. We won, and we keep – like, I stopped watching, especially the Eastern – playoffs. I was watching the West a little bit, but once we were down, I kind of stopped watching the rest of basketball. We get to watch a game seven. I think it's tomorrow, and it's pretty sweet, dude. It's pretty sweet, and everyone was against us, and we won. It's the best feeling in sports. Favo, Tone, Elephone, will we sweep the Clippers too? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Do we think so? What do we think, Clippers Suns? Like, because again, not only was this the craziest series, but then there was just this crazy. There's all this other news, right? There's all this other news with the Mavs, with the Chris Paul, with Kawhi's knee, with the Chris Paul COVID test, like all this stuff. It's been a crazy, crazy week. Steve Pelichek at Steve Pelichek? Probably get that right. Thoughts on the Sixers, if you care to delve, if not a later pod. Perhaps it's just the loser in me, but Well, look, it's not fair. I don't think we're going to be the Nuggets where we're all of a sudden these road warriors like last year's Nuggets with the, like being the comeback kids. Got to be honest, I kind of liked starting on the road. Now, we're theoretically completely evenly matched with Philly and probably should win. Our A game probably beats Philly's A game. So we probably should want home court for all the obvious reasons. But It was kind of nice. It was kind of nice having games 3 and 4 at home. I will say that. Steve also says totally spaced that it could be ATL. Permit a follow up. If it's not Philly, will the title run be ruined due to lack of revenge? Well, that's funny. I hadn't thought about that. So that's actually funny because this was I thought this was really dumb. Because again, I just maybe I'm wrong, but like the Heat series revenge was neither here nor there. But like the revenge. Stuff is lining up. Now, selfishly, I think I could probably sneak into one of these Atlanta Hawks games because I'm close to Atlanta now. So I want to play the Hawks. But, look, I don't control it anyway, so we'll just see. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, what revenge are we getting against Philly? Is this 2001 revenge or it's just we kind of hate Philly? I don't know. Spencer at SLC Pius 50. Will I have 4 beers tonight or 12? 12 is too many, Spencer. Don't overdrink. Don't overindulge. Just have 3 beers, man. You'd be good. Steve Pelichek, who's going to win it? The Bucks, the Bucks is the only answer. We should have ended on that one. Who's going to win it? The Bucks, the Bucks. I realized for 10 years, not that we sing that song every night or anything like that, but I was constantly saying that I thought the lyrics were, what are the lyrics to that song? Yeah, you know what? I know that it's the word around town is that we're lighting it up, but I always thought it was the word around town is we're coming out tough. Maybe some other lyric. I mean, there's a couple different versions of it, right? There was the 2000-2001 version. I think both versions had Irvin Johnson, but there was some variance between the 2000-2001 song. Who would have been? We had Tim Thomas, we had Big Dog. I don't know. The two versions were a little bit different, but I think I've been partially reading it, singing it wrong the whole time. Not that you really sing it, you just yell, light it up, light it up. Because the other thing, what was it? From the Central Division, a team that is swishing. They're not great lyrics. So Tyrus FSC at Timist _, do we get to sign Carlisle if we win the ring? Please say yes. So let's be a real interesting Budenholzer conversation, right? Because let's just have tonight. But I think he's an idiot. I think Coach Budenholzer is dumb as a box of rocks. And I have absolutely no faith. Like, it's like he just defaults to vanilla. And what I would have been. Like, your mileage may vary about the things that made you the most angry, but allowing Jeff Green to just get shot after shot after shot, and Brook Lopez for that, with Brook Lopez, like, doing kind of half-hearted contests, and, like, it's not regular season basketball. But to be fair to him, people were actually calling for what's his name from the Hawks? I can't even remember. I can't even think anymore. People like, and you go with the horses. We're gonna go down with the horses that we had, that we paid all this money and gave all these draft picks to. And I mean, it's not rocket science, but give Budenholzer, like, I guess, credit for not switching it up in a game seven. Like, and it's an interesting thing too. Like, I absolutely never criticized John Starks for whatever that. 1-for-18, 2-for-18, whatever that game was. It's like, what are you going to do? Not go down with John Starks? I mean, he was one of their best players, so you just have to do it. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, but sometimes it works out. The other thing with Carlisle, yes, it's an upgrade. I was kind of on the Becky Hammond train, but sometimes a coach is like good a couple of places. So Carlisle, he's great with the Pacers, he's great with the Mavs. They hadn't won a series in a while, but Carlisle's a good coach. Coaching does pass people by at a certain point, especially in the NBA. You can do it a little bit longer in football, but I mean, you know, Phil Jackson, right? I mean, there comes a point where people don't listen to you. So maybe it's bullet dodged, and maybe we can fire Bud anyway. But I mean, frankly, the problem with this win is that now I think we're probably going to get year 9 of Middleton. But, you know, hope springs eternal. Maybe we can still move him. And with that question, Matt Wire at Matty Ice 32, what color Chris jersey you buying? None. Absolutely none, dog. Real question. This is a nice question. Thanks, bud. When is the next exceptional YouTube upload? Still go back to that Raps Game 6 comeback video to get hype before games. There's a couple interesting things about that. And I'm right there with you, man. That game was a loss, which is the most Bucks thing ever. I even watch that occasionally. And we were happy that we came back to lose against the Raptors, but we made it a game, which is really, really sad. But there's some honor in the sadness, I guess. I kind of traded the video making for the podcast. If people want the videos and not the podcast, like, maybe that should be a poll. But just being honest, I mean, you got the Bucks Twitter account, you got Justin Willis, you got Nathan Marzion making videos, right? So, I mean, how can I possibly improve on any of that stuff, right? Big controversy on that, by the way, but about who got tickets to the Nets game, but nobody asked me about it, so I guess I'm not going to talk about it. Cold as Jelly, Josh Cold as Jelly, will ESPN TNT stop a Milwaukee versus Atlanta broadcast mid-game to do what? To cut to an infomercial or something like that? I'm not really sure about that question. So I've been really busy doing other kind of stuff. I'm probably missing a bunch of other stuff. I'll just encourage all you kids to enjoy this and savor this thing. Like, you're not going to have, even if the Bucks somehow win a title, I can't imagine anything's going to be especially better than this. This, you slayed the dragon. And the dragon was kind of hurt, but we slayed the dragon. It's an honorable, what a game. So let's stop here. At some point, I really am going to edit that. The Hamilton series, actually, it's funny, I think we talked about the Bucks a little bit after that. Maybe I'll put that at the end if I can't sleep. But on to the next one.